Hello everyone. First of all, thanks to the organizers of this dev room for accepting this talk on the European Environment for Scientific Software Installations, or EASY for short. My name is Bob Dreuge. I work at the High Performance Computing team at the Center for Information Technology, which is the central IT institute at the University of Groningen in the Netherlands. I'm mostly doing HPC user support and training and a little bit of HPC system administration. And software installation is a large component of this work, which take up a lot of time. And I'm also currently involved in two larger projects, like the Euclid Space Mission, which is from the European Space Agency, where I'm doing some HPC and infrastructure related work. And the other one is EASY, which I will talk about today. So I'm going to tell everything about the EASY project, which is a free and open source software project, a little bit about the current status, and do a live demo of what we currently have, and finally conclude with some future work that we're working on. But first, in a nutshell, the European Environment for Scientific Software Installation, or again, EASY for short, it's a collaborative project between many different HPC partners, both from academia and from industry. And we have a common goal to build a large stack of scientific software that performs well on different kinds of systems. So most of us are from HPC, but we also want to make this work on, for instance, cloud instances and workstations. Initially, the project was started by a bunch of Dutch universities and by Dell Technologies and the University of Cambridge, after a meeting that was organized by Dell to exchange knowledge and experiences. And since then, lots of other new people and partners have joined the project. And we'll see lots of them on this slide, especially the most active partners in the project at the moment. But we have new people joining almost daily now. The main motivation for the project was that most of the HPC centers of these Dutch universities who started the project were struggling with the same kind of issue, which is that installing software takes up an increasing lot of time, mainly because of increases in different aspects. So we have more users from more different backgrounds also nowadays. There's lots of more software available, especially in fields like bioinformatics. There's lots of new hardware, new infrastructures like cloud, also new accelerators, for instance, new types of CPUs. But on the other hand, the available manpower often doesn't really keep up with all these increases. And it's becoming a challenge to run and install all the scientific software on all these different systems and different kinds of hardware. There are two important remarks here about installing scientific software. First, it's often not that trivial to do it, which is more or less literally illustrated by all these comics about the topic, and also by the quite hilarious talk that Kenneth Foster gave a few years ago on FOSDEM. So he's actually involved also in the project and the lead developer of a tool, EasyBuild, which is a software installation framework that partly solves the one of the issues on the previous slides, just like another installation framework like SPEC. They both can install lots of scientific software for you. So it does partly solve the issue, but there are still lots of other issues that I mentioned on the previous slide that they don't solve, especially in terms of supporting all this different hardware in a more automated way. The other remark is that it's important to optimize your software for the system you're going to run it on. The plot on this slide shows what happens if you take Chromex, which is a popular molecular dynamics tool. And what happens if you optimize it properly for the system you're running on and compare it to a non-optimized version. So you can get performance differences of up to 70%, which means that you can save lots of expensive resources if you properly optimize your software. But since lots of HPC clusters nowadays have a large mix of different architectures and accelerators, this gets even more complex. So we hope to solve lots of the issues that I mentioned with the EASY project. So our goal is to build a large shared repository of scientific software installations and do that in a collaborative way to prevent each of us from redoing the same work all over again. And this also brings in some other advantages. For instance, the more sites that are going to use this repository, the easier it becomes for users to switch between different sites. Since the software will then be organized and provided in the same way on all those different clusters. We also want to make it possible to use the software stack on different types of machines and operating systems. So not only on HPC clusters, but also on clouds and workstations, laptops, etc. Not only on one specific Linux distribution or maybe a few, but in principle, we want to support any Linux distribution and also macOS and even Windows by using the Windows subsystem for Linux. In terms of hardware, we want to support different kinds of CPU architectures, of course, special interconnects like InfiniBand, which you often have on HPC clusters, and obviously also GPUs, which are very popular nowadays. Finally, our main focus will be on performance, since that's important that you have a properly optimized version for each different type of hardware, but also on automation, so that we make it easy to add new software to the stack for all these different architectures. And finally, on testing, to make sure that everything we do and install is done properly. So we have quite ambitious goals, but we are confident that we can achieve these. And as I will demonstrate later on, we already have a working pilot repository that can do lots of these things mentioned here, at least partly. The whole concept of our project is not completely new. Our project is largely inspired by what Compute Canada has already done. So they have already built a software stack for all their national clusters in Canada and for a bunch of smaller ones. And we're actually in close touch with the people who built that stack, and we often get lots of valuable input from them, so we can learn from their experiences. If you want to know more details about this project, you can look up the paper or the presentation linked here, which are given by Maxime and his colleagues from the Compute Canada team. But just like their project, our project is also based on three different layers. So assuming we're running on some kind of client machine, then the client here provides the host operating system, which can be Linux or, for instance, macOS. And basically, the host only needs to provide the drivers and maybe tools like the resource manager, like Slurm. But then we add three layers on top of that. The first one is the file system layer, which actually distributes our software stack to that particular client machine. On top of that, we add a compatibility layer, which basically provides an operating system layer, which levels the ground between the different clients, so that it doesn't really matter what kind of operating system you're running anymore, because we provide it ourselves. And then there's the software layer that contains the actual applications and some of their dependencies. For most of these layers, we make use of free and open source software projects. So in the same colors, you will see the components that we use for those layers that I listed on the previous slide. So EASY itself is also free and open source software. And besides the project for those different layers, we have some more software that we depend on, for instance, for automation and testing and spinning up cloud instances and clusters. So I won't go into all the details for all these different projects. That will take too long. But I will go through the different layers where I will say some more about those details. First, there's the file system layer that's based on CERN VMFS, or CVMFS for short, which is a software distribution service. And there are quite a lot of technical details here, which I will not go into again. But in short, CVMFS consists of different layers with replicas and caches, and then clients, which can be a personal workstation or HPC cluster or cloud. Can then either directly connect to one of our servers over here, or they can add their own cache layers in between to get better performance. So the key message for CVMFS is that it provides a reliable and scalable software distribution service. Scalable because you can easily add more caches if you want to. And so if you add more machines, you can easily add more caches if necessary. It distributes the software via HTTP, which makes it very firewall friendly. And well, most importantly here is that it allows us to make our software stack available on any client we want to. Then we have the compatibility layer. Here we use Gentoo prefix to basically do a kind of Linux installation from source in a non-standard location. That's called the prefix. In our case, the prefix is a path in our CVMFS repository, as you can see here at the bottom. And we use it to install the quite low-level system tools and libraries like glibc. But we try to keep this layer very minimal, so only the things we really need for our software to be built. All the tools and libraries in this layer don't really need to be heavily optimized. It's not compute intensive. So we just have one prefix installation per family of processors. So basically one for x86-64, one for ARM64, etc. As you can also see in the paths over here. Then there's the software layer, which actually provides the real applications, so the scientific applications and libraries. And these are optimized towards specific microarchitectures. So for instance, we have a tree for Intel Haswell, one for AMD Rome, etc. So any microarchitecture that we want to support. All these installations may only depend on libraries or applications that are also in the software layer, or if it's, for instance, an operating system library, it should depend on the one from the compatibility layer to ensure that this software doesn't depend on any kind of host library, since we don't know what kind of operating systems they will run. We use three main tools in this layer, all free and open source, EasyBuild, LMOT, and ArchSpec. So first we use EasyBuild to build all the different scientific applications for the different microarchitectures. And then EasyBuild also makes sure that it generates the module file that we need for LMOT. And LMOT, that's the environment modules tool that we use, which makes it easily possible to offer multiple versions of the same applications to users and provides them as some kind of pluggable modules that users can then load and start using. And finally, ArchSpec. So we install the software to different subtrees, one for each microarchitecture. And when someone wants to use a repository, then we use ArchSpec to detect what kind of microarchitecture their host machine uses. And based on that, it will automatically pick the right subtree with the scientific applications for that particular machine. So we use ArchSpec basically to tell LMOT where to find the right software installations. So that sounds like a lot of magic, but we actually have a working pilot repository already that can be used by anyone. So we have lots of Ansible playbooks to, for instance, deploy all the different layers and all the different infrastructure for our pilot setup, and also scripts and documentations, which you can all find on our GitHub page. We also have an initial setup for a CVMFS with servers in Groningen and Oslo at the moment. Not very large yet, but it allows us to do all the tests that we want to do. We currently support in our compatibility layer x86-64 and ARM64 and only Linux clients, but that means in principle also Windows if you use the Windows subsystem for Linux. And in terms of software, we just have a few applications in our pilot repository at the moment, mainly because we're focusing on testing and setting up the overall structure and solving issues and automating tasks and things like that. But when everything is working properly, then we can easily add more scientific software later on. It should be very straightforward. And for the same reason, we also have just a limited number of microarchitectures at the moment, but we can also extend that later on, at least for the non-exotic microarchitectures. So this page that you will see on the slide over here describes how to use our pilot repository, but that's basically a three-step process. First, you have to access the repository itself, and for that you need to use the CVMFS client, which you can either install natively, but then you need root privileges, or you can use Singularity if that's available on your system. Then you don't need root privileges. So once you've access to the repository, you can source an init script that we provide that will completely set up your environment, detect what kind of microarchitecture you have, and it will find the right software tree for your machine. And then you can start loading the modules that you want to use and start computing. So a little bit more details about that first step. So if you want to use the native installation, this shows an example how you can do that. It's quite simple. You basically just have to install a few packages, the CVMFS client itself, configuration package that we provide. You have to make a local machine-specific configuration file, then run the setup command, which will prepare the mount, and then you can access the repository. If you want to do it with Singularity, this is basically how it will look like. So it will take a container from Docker Hub, which we provide for you. You can just take it with Singularity. You have to set up some special options with the --- fuse mount flag that will actually mount the repository for you. Basically, all you have to provide is some directory on the host, which will be used to store the cache of CVMFS. By default, we use /tmp, but you could change that. But in principle, you can just run this and then it will launch the container where you have access to the repository. The next step is sourcing that init script, as I mentioned, which will print out some values about the machine you're using. So in this case, it says it's an Intel Haswell machine. So it will basically set up Elmot to use the software from the Intel Haswell repository that we provide. And finally, you can start using the software. So you can look for modules. You can load, in this case, Growmax, and then you can start running it. So I can show you how that works in practice. So I can do this on many different systems. And I will use some files from our demo repository for running. In this case, I will try to run Growmax on some different systems. So I will switch to my terminal. So I have three tabs open here. The first one is on AWS, an Amazon Cloud VM. And as you can see, that's an ARM64 processor. So it's a completely empty VM. The only thing I've installed is Git, and I did a Git clone of our repository over here. And what I'm going to do is first install the native CVMFS client by using this script over here that I've already prepared, but that will basically do the things from the slides that you've seen before. So I'm going to run this, which might take a little bit of time. So in the meantime, I'll switch to a second system as well. This is actually on the HPC cluster of the University of Groningen. So this time I'm running on a x86-64 machine, which is a Intel Broadwell architecture. And in this case, I'm going to use from that same directory script that will launch a Singularity container. So it's a similar kind of thing that you saw on the slide. And if I run that, you might see some warnings and errors over here, which we can ignore for now. But this will give me access, as you can see, to our pilot repository where we currently have two versions. Let's go back to this one. So now that it has installed CVMFS on the AWS instance, I can also check it here. And I also have access now to the same repository. So the next thing that I will have to do is source the init script. So I'm going to provide the path to the init script, which is in the init directory, and the script is called bash. So it will detect the EZ repository. It will say, ah, this is an ARM64 Graviton2 processor. So I'm going to use the software from the Arch64 Graviton2 software tree. And now it's all set up, so I can do module avail to show which modules are available, and I can just browse through them. So I will run a demo now with Growmax, which is a molecular dynamics tool for which we also provide a script over here. So I can show you what it does. So it will load the module. It will download some input file for the benchmark that we're going to use, which is a PRAISE benchmark, which you can find on the PRAISE website, and then just run the benchmark. So we'll start downloading, and then it will start Growmax. This is a machine with two cores, so you will see that it's using two threads. And that will take a bit of time. So in the meantime, I can do the same thing on our HPC cluster inside the Singularity container. So I also first have to source the init script. And then I will have to go to the same directory, and I can run Growmax from here as well. So this will run with 28 threads because it's a 28 core machine. So that will go a bit faster than the other one, which is still running. And in the meantime, I will open my third tab. This is actually the WSL layer on Windows, which means that I have an Ubuntu installation here in my Windows 10 installation. So this is actually my laptop now running with this Intel processor. So I will do the same thing. So I'm actually running in an Ubuntu shell right now, where I have already installed the CVMFS client. You can just do that in a similar way as on a real Ubuntu system. So right now I'm going to just source the init script here as well. And as you can see, it will detect this to be an Intel Haswell. I have a slightly newer architecture than that, but because we don't have an exact match for this microarchitecture, it will fall back to the best one that we have in a repository, which is the Intel Haswell one. And now I can run the same benchmark over here. So I also have a checkout of the same repository over here with the same test scripts. So I'm going to run the same benchmark also on my laptop. So now I'm running basically Linux software in my Windows machine using the Windows subsystem for Linux with the CVMFS mount of our repository. As you can see, the one on Amazon is still running because it only has two cores. The one on the HPC cluster is already done. But in the meantime, I will just switch back to the slides. It's still running, so I can check back later. But the nice thing that it shows is that I can easily now run the same piece of software on different kind of hardware, different kind of operating systems. And it will all do that by itself. So it will detect which machine this is and what kind of OS and what the best match is. So we've already made quite a lot of progress over the last couple of months. And we now have this working pilot version that I just showed you. But there's still a lot of things that we want and need to work on, which we are doing by making monthly revisions of our pilot. And that allows us to easily test things and identify issues. And then we solve those in later revisions of our pilot. For now and for the short term, our main focus is on adding more automation to our repository with tools like Ansible and Terraform and Cluster in the Cloud. And ideally, we want to make it possible that, for instance, if someone wants to add software to our repository, that he or she can open a pull request on GitHub with a request for a particular software to be added, that we review it, and when we approve it, that it will automatically start building that software for different architectures. By, for instance, using cloud instances. And when that succeeds and passes some tests, that it will automatically be added to our repository. We also want to add a lot more testing to the repository, for instance, by leveraging tools like Reframe and GitHub Actions. And then we want to verify that things are okay with the entire installation of the repository, but also do performance tests of software that we've installed and scalability tests. We're also currently working on support for macOS clients, for power-based systems, so Power 8 and Power 9 CPUs, and obviously for GPUs, which we want to do soon. And of course, we want to add a lot more software at some point. We also hope that scientific software developers will see the value of this project and will be willing to help us out with validating the installations of their software in our repository, so that both they and we can be sure that the users of that software are using a correctly installed version. And we want to find some more dedicated manpower and funding to make the project more sustainable, since until now, most of us are doing this more or less on the side. We're also setting up a consortium at the moment, and at the same time, we want to change our name. The European in our name, we often get questions about that, and we don't want to limit it to Europe only. So we want to change that E to something else. And finally, most importantly, we of course want to work towards a production setup so that we can all start using this in our systems. So if you want to find out more, you can check out our website or our documentation, GitHub pages, and Twitter. On our website, you can also find a form that you can fill in to get a request to our Slack channel and our mailing list. And then you can also join our monthly meetings, which are every first Thursday of the month. So with that, I'd like to thank you very much for watching this talk. And if you have any questions, I'll be around now to answer questions. And of course, you can otherwise contact us on Slack. Thank you.